yesterday, Trump had a foreign policy speech. And it was a great speech. I mean, that's why nobody's really talking about it. Remember, they talk about the issues, okay? If they talk about the issues, Hillary Clinton will lose. Remember that. If you talk about the issues, Hillary Clinton will lose. The Democrats will lose. I mean, guys, you know, Aetna, you know, the healthcare provider, Aetna, they're pulling out of Obamacare. They're pulling out of most of the Obamacare exchanges. That's huge. I mean, that really is huge. I mean, Obama's signature legislation, okay? The signature, you know, it was a sham. Seriously, it was a sham. That's all. It's like when you hear the budgets, when they talk about balancing the budget, and the budget will be balanced in the year 2025. A new budget was passed today, and the budget will be balanced by 2025. So it's a sham. So it's a sham. Budget's never going to be balanced by it's a sham. As new presidents come in, new Congress comes in, those budgets aren't the same. I mean, they're shams. The Obamacare was a sham. No different than the Obama foreign policy was a sham. They are Band-Aids that were placed over problems, placed over issues, that made it look like the things were healed or the things were fixed. And the media played in, because the media is controlled by Democrats and vice versa. And as we're getting closer to Obama being out of office, because remember, listen, the whole Obama thing was just a social experiment. That's all it was. Any other candidate that had the baggage that Obama had would be over. Okay? Listen, look what's going on with Trump. The baggage Trump has, it really, really pales. You know, the things that get Trump into trouble is just the things that he says now, because he's not a politician. As my mom would say, he just doesn't know when to shut up. I mean, imagine if Trump's best friend was a domestic terrorist. Seriously. Imagine if Trump had a history with a domestic terrorist, a guy that was blowing up federal buildings. I mean, they're going after Trump for you know, bankruptcies from 20 years ago in Atlantic City and things of that nature. Obama was doing shady deals with slumlords, Tony Rezko. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And you got that gymnast, that poor little black girl there, that Bliss or Bly, whatever her effing name is. Because she wasn't doing the national anthem correctly. She wasn't putting her hand on her boob, whatever. I don't even know what the controversy was about. But here's this girl they're giving the wrath of hell to. And Obama's best friend is a reverend who's talking about goddamn America. And I was just please. So this entire presidency has been a social experiment. That's all. No different than if Hillary Clinton won, or if the Democrats and the powers that be said, ah, you know what, we're going to go with the woman. It would have been a social experiment. So as far as issues, the Democrats can't win. They can't win on issues. They can't win on issues. As Obamacare unravels, and nobody's focusing on it, there should be panels. There should be panels on all of these talk shows, on all of these news programs, talking about Obamacare unraveling, about how it was never a real smart policy. It was a feel-good policy. It was a feel-good Band-Aid on a wound that needed stitches. That's all. It's the same thing with our foreign policy. We have so many. We are, you know, when you talk about our military, you talk about us being weak. You'll get these uber leftists. What are you talking about? We spend 10 times on what the nearest country spends on our military. Our military is not weak. If you look at places like Syria, you look at places like Russia, you look at places, China. If you look at the world and you look at our leadership, we are nowhere. We are absolutely nowhere. We are absolutely nowhere. I mean, the news story today is Russia is launching air missions from Iran. They're launching air missions from Iran and bombing Syria. So all we did, pull out of these areas, so Obama and the Democrats could say, look, we did what we said we were going to do. These wars we got in were bad wars. They were wrong. Apologize for all these things that happened, for the things that we've done, and now we've made good on that. Again, wasn't the smart thing to do, because ultimately everybody knew, even Democrats that are part of the military complex, even Democrats knew that the Band-Aid would eventually come off, that we would be exactly where we are. We are exactly where a lot of these Democrats deep down inside knew, that whoever the next president is going to have to deploy. Whoever the next president is, and whatever liberals are listening to this program, I'll tell you this. I guarantee you, okay, all you Bernie Sanders supporters, my sister, her girlfriend, I guarantee you, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, you're going to see a ramped up military presence in all of these places that Obama withdrew from. I guarantee we have to be there. So, Democrats can't run on their policies. They can't run on these past 8 years. The only mark And this is it. This is it. This is all they talk about. And my dad's one of them. The only mark, that only bar that they go, well, look, is the stock market. That's it. And if you want to play that game, when Democrats say Donald Trump only cares about rich people, he's not going to care about the middle class. He's not going to care about the poor. He's only caring about the rich. Well, the stock market only helps rich people. Okay? The stock market doesn't help the working class. I'm sorry. Okay? The working class, the working poor, they don't have 401ks. They don't have investments in stocks. They don't. If you're making $30,000 a year, you're not investing your money. You're trying to live. If you need Obamacare, you're not investing your money. So when you say to Democrats, oh, well, these 8 years of Obama, oh, well, look at the stock market. It's never been higher. Okay, but who does that benefit? Rich people. The same people that you're saying Donald Trump and the Republicans only care about. In order to be able to take part of your paycheck and invest it in a retirement fund means you got to be making pretty good money. All right? That's not a $30,000 a year person. Okay? Now, if you want to talk about, well, I take $10 out of my paycheck and I put. Yeah, okay, great. You got to live to your about 130 then, dummy. But if you have a real retirement fund and that fund is being invested into stocks like Coca-Cola and Facebook, Google, you got to be making close to six figures, okay? Sorry. You know how much a share of Facebook costs? You know how much a share of Apple costs? A share of Apple basically costs somebody a paycheck, practically. I mean, maybe Apple's gone down, but I remember when Apple was worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a share. I can't imagine it's $10 a share now. What the hell? I'm going to look on my phone. I want to be accurate. I want to be accurate. $109. That's what Google's worth. $109 a share. So if you make $500, say you make $500 a week, okay? So you make $400 a week. You're not gonna take $100 of that to buy one share of Apple. Sorry, not gonna happen. So the Democrats can't run. On the record, they can't. They can't. Absolutely cannot. So when Trump gives a foreign policy speech, which he gave yesterday, and he starts listing all of the attacks that have happened in this country during the Obama era. And remember, the Obama era, when asked about ISIS, he said, it's the JV team. The Obama era that created the problems we have in, you know, when you see liberals and they go, well, you know, the status of force agreement, the Iraqis didn't they didn't agree to a new agreement. The agreement they had was what Bush worked out. So, hey, it's not Obama's fault, it's Bush's fault. Listen, most presidents, and it's standard practice, in issues like war and things of that nature, try not to saddle the next president with something that's... So that agreement with Iraq was something that Obama was supposed to renegotiate. Real simple. And considering that we held the strings, I mean, guys, the notion that the Iraqi president was able to just go, you know what, I don't like that deal, you guys are done, goodbye, it's over, and we're like, okay, Joe, no problem. We wound up going back in and basically putting our own person in charge of Iraq. After Maliki crapped the bed, we wound up putting our own person in power. So we always had power of that country. We always had power over Maliki. Always did. That was Obama's fault. But remember, Obama said, we're going to withdraw out of all these places. We are going to apologize to all of these countries, to all of these people. So liberals and all the media outlets can spin that however they want. But a status of force agreement was supposed to be renegotiated by Obama. End of story. So during Trump's speech, he started right out. Just right out. He said, today we begin a conversation about how to make America safe again. In the 20th century, the United States defeated fascism, Nazism, and communism. Now a different threat challenges our world. Radical Islamic terrorism. This summer, there's been an ISIS attack launched outside the war zones of the Middle East every 84 hours. That's a fact. That's a fact. Here in America, we have seen one brutal attack after another. 13 were murdered and 38 wounded in assault on Fort Hood. Fact. Boston Marathon bombing, wounded and maimed 264 people and ultimately left 5 dead, including 2 police officers. Fact. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 5 unarmed Marines were shot and killed at a military recruiting center. Fact. Last December, 14 innocent Americans were gunned down at the office party in San Bernardino and another 22 were injured. Fact. June 29th, 49 Americans were executed at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and another 53 were injured. It was the worst mass shooting in our history and the worst attack on the LGBTQ. LGBTQ community in our history. Fact. Those are all facts. Liberals can't dispute that. Liberals can't, and if they want to say, oh, well, what about the attacks by what? The attacks by what? Well, Aurora, Colorado. Oh, so you want to not talk about the terrorist attack. You want to bring up random attack. Okay, well, if you're going to bring up Colorado, then you got to bring up Chicago. You got to bring up the thousands that have been killed in Obama's hometown. You got to bring up the thousands that have been killed in Obama's chief of staff's hometown. The mayor, Rahm Emanuel, to Clinton, worked in the Clinton administration and the Obama administration. You got to bring that up. Okay? Because by bringing that up, you're skirting. You're running away from what Trump's speech is, a foreign policy speech. And something that liberals have no answer for. They have no answer for this. They have no answer for these attacks. They have no answers. They have absolutely no answers. In Europe, we've seen the same carnage and bloodshed inflicted upon our closest allies. January 2015, a French satirical newspaper, Charlie Hebdo, was attacked for publishing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. 12 were killed, including 2 police officers, 11 wounded. 2 days later, 4 were murdered in a Jewish deli. Fact. In November 2015, terrorists went on a shooting rampage in Paris that slaughtered 130 people and wounded another 368. France is suffering gravely, and the tourism industry is being massively affected in the most negative way. In March of this year, terrorists detonated a bomb in the Brussels airport, killing 32 people, injuring 340. Fact. This July, in the south of France, an Islamic terrorist turned his truck into an instrument of mass murder, plowing down and killing 85 men, women, and children, and wounding another 308. Among dead were 2 Americans, a Texas father, and an 11-year-old son. Fact. A few weeks ago in Germany, a refugee armed with an axe wounded 5 people in a gruesome train attack. Fact. Only days ago, an ISIS killer invaded a Christian church in Normandy, France, forced an 84-year-old priest to his knees and slit his throat before his congregation. Fact. These are all facts. You see why the media is talking about Roger Ailes is a sexual abuser? You see why the media is talking about everything else. I mean, yesterday, the other story was Paul Manafort and the stories from the New York Times. I mean, the New York Times is nothing more. Again, oh my God, you never Trump a-holes. Seriously, you never Trump a-holes. If this doesn't scare you, I'm telling you, if this doesn't scare you, I don't know. I don't know. I'm exasperated by you all. I really am. I'm exasperated by the Glenn Becks. I'm exasperated by the Ben Shapiros. I'm exasperated by the Mark Levins. I'm exasperated. I really am. I'm just exasperated by all of you. I'm exasperated. To sit back and be perfectly fine with a communist style, a Nazi style media, just because you don't like Trump personally, is mind-boggling. These are all facts. Trump's foreign policy speech opened with facts, and Democrats have no answer. They have no answer for this. Trump goes on, crucifixions, beheadings, and drownings, ethnic minorities targeted for mass execution, holy sites desecrated, Christians driven from their homes and hunted for extermination, ISIS rounding up what it calls the Nation of the Cross, and a campaign of genocide. We cannot let this evil continue. Those are all facts, guys. Nor can we let the hateful ideology of radical Islam, its oppression of women, gays, children, and non-believers, be allowed to reside or spread within our countries. Again, all facts. Trump goes on, anyone who cannot name our enemy is not fit to lead this country. Anyone who cannot condemn the hatred, oppression, and violence of radical Islam lacks moral clarity to serve as our president. The rise of ISIS is a direct result of the policy decisions made by President Obama and Secretary Clinton. Those are facts. Liberals and the liberal talking heads could say, well, you know, no. There is no, well, you know, that's not fact. When Trump said Obama and Hillary Clinton created ISIS, and the media went nuts. Oh, wah! How could he say that? Yet it was perfectly fine for everybody to say, well, Donald Trump is the recruiter for ISIS. He's the number one recruiter. Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, right on. Right on. Fact, yeah. But again, Trump continues to lay out facts. I actually read a website yesterday that said Trump's foreign policy speech was a bunch of gibberish. Gibberish? Gibberish. This is far from gibberish. These are facts. Like I said, if liberals, Democrats, the media, progressives, if they had to run on what they have accomplished in the past 8 years, if they had a fraction, if they had to run on their record, they would be getting slaughtered. The only reason Hillary Clinton is where she is because the media has systematically decided in a back room somewhere to pull out every Nazi communist media tactic and go after Donald Trump. Because these are all facts. Let's look back at the Middle East at the very beginning of 2009. Before the Obama-Clinton administration took over, Libya was stable. Syria was under control. Those are two facts. Am I wrong or am I right? Egypt was ruled by a secular president and ally of the United States. Fact. Iraq was experiencing reduction in violence. Fact. The group that would become what we now call ISIS was close to being extinguished. Fact. Iran was being choked off by economic sanctions. Fact. Those are all facts, guys. Fast forward to today. What have the decisions of Obama-Clinton produced? Libya is in ruins. Our ambassador and three other brave Americans are dead. And ISIS has gained a new base of operations. Fact. Syria is in the midst of a disastrous civil war. ISIS controls large portions of the territory. A refugee crisis now threatens Europe and the United States. Fact. In Egypt, terrorists have gained a foothold in the Sinai Desert near the Suez Canal, one of the most essential waterways in the world. Iraq is in chaos and ISIS is on the loose. Fact. ISIS is spread across the Middle East and into the West. In 2014, ISIS was operating in some seven nations. Today, they are fully operational in 18 countries with aspiring branches and six more, for a total of 24. And many believe it is even more than that. The situation is likely worse than the public knows. A new congressional report reveals that the administration has downplayed the growth of ISIS, with 40% of analysts saying that they had experienced efforts to manipulate their findings. At the same time, ISIS is trying to infiltrate refugee flows into the European and the United Nations. These are all facts, guys. These are all facts. Do you see why no one in the media is talking about this? Do you see why there's not panels? Imagine a Republican president having this as their record. From last night to today, this is what they'd be talking about. Not Roger Ailes. Not Roger Ailes, a guy who's a choir boy next to Bill Clinton. No. They'd be talking about this because every single one of these things are facts. Every single one of these things are facts. A liberal can't sit there and go piece by piece what I just said and dispute those facts. Those are facts. They can't dispute them. And just like Milwaukee and the riots that went on over the weekend over a black cop shooting a black gangster with a semi-automatic pistol, the fact that the media didn't cover it. So in turn, nobody knew about it. So in turn, it was as if it didn't happen. It's the same thing with this. If the media doesn't cover this, if the media doesn't talk about it, if there's not panels breaking down each and every single one of these paragraphs and saying, okay, is that true? Is that false? What are the facts? It never happened. So your low information voter, your medium information voter, your millennial voter, nobody knows any of this. This isn't getting into their heads. They're not sitting in an airport watching CNN because they got a three-hour delay and there's a panel going, all right, it is true that ISIS is spread across the Middle East and into the West. It is true that ISIS is operating in some seven Asians. It is true, yes, and it's all happened under so-and-so's watch. They're not seeing that, and I say that because, again, if it was a Republican, this is what would be going on. This was a Republic. Guys, when Obama took office, for the first 3-4 years, all we ever heard was everything that's happening now is because of George Bush. Remember that? So no matter anything bad that happened, anything bad that happened, it was, well, guys, remember, Bush left this country in shambles. He was horrible. Look what he did. He was bad. It's like, okay, fine. Year one. Year two. What? Oh, gosh, this happened. Oh, that's Bush's fault. Oh, geez. Okay, what about year three? That's Bush's. Obama didn't start taking responsibility for his own presidency until he killed bin Laden. When he killed bin Laden, that was him. It was his administration. It was everything about him. He did it. Now, from this point forward, everything that's happening is because of me. But 3 years prior, nope, that's Bush. Hey, what happened here? Bush. What happened there? Bush. What happened to that? Bush. And the media, Bush, 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 Bush. Bush, Bush, Bush. It was like a dirty pep rally. Bush, 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 Bush. Bush, Bush, Bush. Never heard the words Bush more. Except in the movie Revenge of the Nerds. Bush, Bush, Bush. Continue. Iran, the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, is now flush with $150 billion in cash released by the United States, plus another $400 million in ransom. Worst of all, the nuclear deal puts Iran, the number one state sponsor of radical Islamic terrorism, on a path to nuclear weapons. That's a fact. Did they get $150 billion in cash released by the United States? Fact. Did they get $400 million in ransom? Fact. Are they on a path to a nuclear bomb? Fact, in 10 years. Remember, the agreement ends in 10 years. So now, here's a question for you. Because this is kind of like the status of forces agreement. So in 10 years, whoever the president is, okay, they're going to have to rework a deal because Iran is going to be free to do whatever they want. And if that deal is not worked out, is that president then going to get blamed or is he going to get a pass? So once Iran goes, all right, this deal's up and, oh, look, now we have nuclear weapons. Who's going to get the blame? Who's going to get the blame? Because Obama got a pass. It was George Bush's fault that Iraq is the way it is. The status of forces agreement that he made lapsed. It's not Obama's fault. Yeah, he didn't get a new one, but hey. Hey, the old one expired in Iraq, and the president said, F you. So, it's not Obama's fault. Yeah, he could have renegotiated, but hey. Guess what? It's not his fault. So, is that what's going to happen? 10 years from now, let's say it's a Republican president. By some miracle, by some alternate universe. And Iran gets a warhead, and now they're like, we're going to wipe Israel off the map. Liberals are going to say, look, it's Republican President so-and-so's fault. He didn't work a new deal with Iran. Well, what do you mean he didn't work a new deal with Iran? Yeah, well, should be a new deal. Why should there be? There shouldn't be any deal. They should never have had the capability to do what they're doing now. Trump continues, in short, the Obama-Clinton foreign policy has unleashed ISIS, destabilized the Middle East, and put the nation of Iran, which chants death to America, in a dominant position of regional power, and in fact, aspiring to be a dominant world power. That's a fact. Does Iran chant death to America? Yes. Is Iran in a position that they've never been in before? Well, yeah. Look what's going on right now. When's the last time Iran has been involved? And I'm not talking about their covert stuff, their covert terrorist stuff. Okay? Not talking about Hezbollah and things of that nature where everybody knows Iran's funding them, but Iran goes, no, we don't fund them. I'm talking about what they're doing today. Russia using Iranian air bases to launch attacks in Syria. When the hell has Iran been a player on the world stage where they're openly engaged in these types of things? Exactly. The Obama administration. The Obama administration. Obama has let this happen. This is a fact. Obama and Clinton have unleashed ISIS. Fact. The Middle East is destabilized. Fact. Iran chants death to America. Fact. And they are reasserting themselves as a dominant world power. When they're working hand in hand with Russia, and Russia is launching airstrikes from their military bases, that's starting to be a dominant world power. They're not a dominant world power. They're starting. They're aspiring. Exactly what Trump said. Then Trump goes on to talk about the Obama global apology tour. Now that's a sore subject with liberals, and liberals will say that wasn't an apology tour. That's what you Republicans always say. You all are. So he continues to talk about Obama's apology tour. Talking about the arrogant America, dismissive colonial power. Talked about he would be speaking up about America's past errors. He then went in Cairo. And as he was talking about how America was bad and did all these bad things, he never once brought up how in these Muslim nations they oppress gays and women, and so forth and so on. So it was a, a bit of an opinion thrown in with some facts, some things that he said, but liberals will be able to kind of poke holes at that. That's where they could say, it was gibberish. Well, that's only like a paragraph. It's kind of like that time ABC News. Remember we did that bit where they did a whole fact check on the Trump speech? But it was only like three parts of the speech that they fact checked and said, oh, well, this wasn't entirely accurate. And this is a little more nuanced. But every other point they skipped. And like we said, that's because it was 100% accurate, 100% true. And they had no way. They had absolutely no way to get out from under the truth rock. No different than, again, you don't see BuzzFeed, you don't see Huffington Post, you don't see Stephanopoulos' ABC News, CBS. You don't see any of them breaking down the Trump speech and going, fact check. If you go to CNN.com, they don't have fact-checking Donald Trump's military speech on his terrorist speech. You don't see that. Fact-check. Of course they didn't do that. Of course they didn't do that. Instead, their top story on their website is landslide, Hillary Clinton. Landslide. There's no fact check. Let's fact check. Let's fact check. Fact check. You know what they have instead? They have Peter Bergen. You know, the CNN national security analyst. And you know what they're want to know what it is? Trump's half-baked plans to combat ISIS. That's what it's called. And then he said, all of Trump's plans are the things that Obama and the Obama administration are doing. Partnering with Jordan and Egypt, check. Working with NATO, check. Cutting off ISIS funding, check. Cyber warfare against ISIS, check. Decimating Al-Qaeda, check. See, Obama's already doing those things. No, they're not. What are you talking about? And if he is, he's not doing it successfully. He's not doing it successfully. Peter Bergen, the CNN national security analyst and vice president at New America and a professor of practice at Arizona State University, the Party School. He is the author of The United States of Jihad, Investigating America's Homegrown Terrorists. Oh. Donald Trump and his half-baked plans to combat ISIS. So his half-baked plans. But the baked plan that's not half-baked is all the things that Obama's doing. You know, these liberals, you know, in football, every single team, every single coach, every single quarterback, every single running back, every single defensive lineman, offensive lineman, every single one of these players, coaches, teams, they all essentially run the same plays. Okay. They call it different. Omaha. They call them different plays. But essentially, they have the same plays. Some teams run the same offense, West Coast offense, run and gun offense. What makes Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, what makes them better and more successful? Think about this. What makes them better and more successful than the Minnesota Vikings? They run the same plays. They run the same plays. The object of the game is the same. Score touchdowns. Have a great defense. Stop the other team from scoring more points than you. Why are the New England Patriots a better team? Why are the New England Patriots more successful? Why is Tom Brady a better quarterback? So when these liberal, I don't even want to use dirty names, but Peter Bergen goes, partnering with Jordan in Egypt, check. Working with NATO, check. Cutting off ISIS, check. Donald Trump's proposals are all the same things Obama's doing. Yeah, and the Minnesota Vikings are running the same plays and playing football the same way the New England Patriots are playing. But the New England Patriots win Super Bowls. The Minnesota Vikings don't. So obviously, the Patriots and Belichick and Brady and Gronk are doing something different, doing something better, doing something more successful. So obviously, Obama and the Obama administration are not doing enough to work with Jordan and Egypt. Obviously, Obama is not doing enough to working with NATO. Obviously, Obama is not doing enough for cutting off ISIS funding. Obviously, Obama is not doing enough for cyber warfare against ISIS. Yeah, if that's the playbook and if that's the game plan, Pete, Obama is not following it. He's not executing it. He's being the Minnesota Vikings. He's not being the New England Patriots. I mean, how is this so complicated for such a genius like yourself there, Petey? Mr. CNN National Security Analyst. Remember, these guys, he's nothing more than an elitist professor. He's not a retired four-star general. He's not some senator that's been sitting in the Foreign Affairs Committee, the Foreign National whatever Committee. He's some professor at the number one party school in America. He's a glorified pundit. He's an armchair quarterback. That's all he is. That's it. He's a nothing. He's an elitist nothing. That's it. That's it. That's it. Absolutely it. Cutting off ISIS funding, check. Just elitist BS. That's it. Elitist BS. And because these people go unchallenged, because someone like Peter Bergen gets to go on CNN and say all these things, and nobody on CNN goes, oh, wait a minute, Pete. Obviously, that checklist you're talking about that you've checked, obviously, it's not working. obviously, all those things that Trump has laid out that has gone down in the last 2 years, obviously, Pete, this checklist, obviously, it's not working. No one challenges them. That's liberal media. So when you're sitting in an airport, or you're sitting in a doctor's office, or you're reading the newspaper, and they have, or online, and Peter Bergen goes, oh, Trump's speech was just a half-baked, kook fest, because Obama's doing all of those things already. And you're like, oh, okay. Now you go back to waiting for your airplane. Oh, yeah, well, then I guess what Trump said was kooky. Obama's doing all those things. Like I said before, well, Tom Brady does all the things that Jay Cutler does, okay? Chicago Bears do all the things that the New England Patriots do. They do. They do all the things. They run plays. They get in the end, but they're not winning. They're not winning. And then to take it even further, why is it that you have a losing team who gets a new coach, a new front office, and they turn that exact team that was losing into a winning team? Why is that? Again, same personnel, same people, but new strategy, new plays, but the same concept. Quarterback has to throw the ball. The running back has to run the ball. The defense has to stop the other team. As Peter Bergen would say, check, 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 check. Effing a-hole. I don't mean to get all evil here, but I hope Peter Bergen slips and breaks his arm. That's what I hope. I do. I know it's bad. I hope he's walking into class one day and he slips on vomit because he's at the number one party school in the entire college universe. Okay? And he pukes. He slips on puke. It breaks his arm. That's what I hope. That's what I hope. All right, so we'll continue. It's a long speech. I know, to go through this whole thing, you're sitting there going, oh, Rob, geez, it's too long. We don't want to hear all this. Well, you're going to hear it. Okay? Or do you want to hear about the Constitution? Is that what you want to hear? Is that what you want to hear about the articles of the Constitution? My friend, it's about liberty. It's about liberty. And we need to get together and use liberty. Is that what you guys want me to talk about? Liberty? Give you liberty. Mark Levin. I'd like to drop kick him, too. I would. I'd like to drop kick him. Like to drop kick him right in his face. So anyways. Trump continues as he's talking about what happened in the Cairo speech. Trump goes on talking about the money ISIS has made, something like $400 million. One more point on this. I have long said that we should have kept the oil in Iraq, another area where my judgment has been proven correct. According to CNN, ISIS made as much as $500 million in oil sales in 2014 alone, fueling and funding its foreign of terror, their reign of terror. If we had controlled the oil, we could have prevented the rise of ISIS in Iraq, both by cutting off a major source of funding and through the presence of U.S. forces necessary to safeguard the oil and other vital infrastructure. I was saying this constantly and to whoever would listen, keep the oil, keep the oil, keep the oil. I said it. Don't let someone else get it. I mean, those are facts. Okay? CNN's Mr. They're Mr. and Mrs. Facts, right? 500 million in 2014 alone. All right, so then he continues again. If I become president, the era of nation building will be ended. Our new approach, which must be shared by both parties in America, by our allies overseas, and by our friends in the Middle East, must be to halt the spread of radical Islam. See, now, the establishment from the left and the right don't like to hear the nation of building being ended. Remember, that was Bush's whole doctrine, the Bush doctrine, neocon. That's their big thing, nation building. Got to go into these countries and force democracy on them. And liberals, of course, go, oh, Obama, see, Obama stopped that policy. Well, Trump is basically echoing Obama. So it's like, so was Trump's speech gibberish and garbage and crap, or was it Obama's speech? Like, what was it? On one hand, Trump's speech is half-baked ideas, full of gibberish. But then they say the proposals were things and are things Obama's already doing. So is it gibberish and half-baked ideas, or are they things Obama's already doing? The end of nation building, liberals have pointed out Obama has already done that. It was George Bush and the neocons that were into nation building. See what I'm saying? When it comes to policies and it comes to issues, Democrats are done. And liberals know it. Liberals know it. Progressives know it. The media knows it. They know it. That's why all day, Roger Ailes, the sexual abuser. Roger Ailes, the sexual predator. Roger Ailes. It's all about Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, Roger Ailes, Roger Ailes. Sexual abuser, sexual abuser. Sexual abuser. Bill Clinton's running around, and he's like, hey, don't mind me and my cigars. Don't mind me and sitting on a couch asking chicks to touch it a little. Don't mind that. Trump's speech, full of gibberish and half-baked ideas. But those half-baked ideas are ideas that Obama's already doing. Oh, okay. Trump says all actions should be oriented around this goal, and our country, which shares this goal, be our ally. We cannot always choose our friends, but we can never fail to recognize our enemies. As president, I will call for an international conference focused on this goal. We will work side by side with our friends in the Middle East, including our greatest ally, Israel. We will partner with King Abdullah of Jordan and President Sisi of Egypt. And all others who recognize this ideology of death must be extinguished. Oh, but Obama's already doing that. No, we're not. We're not. Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu despise each other. Matter of fact, something that mainstream media, forget mainstream, I take that back, I'm sorry I said that. Media, not mainstream media, because that makes it sound like there's a whole section of media that's, you know, pro-Republican media. You know, remember the whole hubbub about Trump and Putin and Putin trying to stick his nose in our presidential election, and it's unheard of. And for Trump to say, hey, find Hillary Clinton's emails and calling for espionage. Oh, my God. Remember that fake uproar? Remember that fake uproar? But you know what no one reported on? Not one person. Not one person reported on it. Obama and the Obama administration actively, and this is a fact. This is a fact. These are facts that are out there. But unless the media reports on it, unless the media puts it on a panel with Van Jones and Sally Cohen and Wolfie Blitzer, unless George Stephanopoulos, unless they talk about it, remember, it doesn't exist. But we actively supported with money, resources as far as operatives. We did everything we could to influence the elections in Israel. We backed Netanyahu's challengers. We funneled money to what amounts to super PACs out in Israel. It's a fact. It is a fact. The Obama administration funneled money to organizations that tried to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu. That's a fact. It is a fact that as it pertains to the war on terror in the Middle East, Israel is not part of anything that goes on in Iraq or Syria. Matter of fact, when they launch airstrikes into Gaza, into the Palestinian region, we condemn them. We condemn them. This is a fact. Now, if people say this is gibberish, okay. Talking about Israel and the fact that we need to bring them in on this war against terror. I mean, I've said that from day one. 2 years ago, I used to say, why the hell isn't Israel part of a coalition in the Middle East? I mean, Muslims despise Jews. I mean, they despise Jews. I mean, Iran wants to wipe them off the face of this earth. I've always said, why the hell? I mean, Israel has one of, I mean, and their military is top notch. I mean, everybody at the age of 18 has to go into the military. They have a military that's top notch. Hell, we fund a good portion of their military. Israel's itching to restore order in the Middle East. Israel's itching for the United States to say, hey, you know what? We need about 10,000 of your soldiers. We're going to whack a bunch of Muslim extremists. That's what we're going to do. We're gonna whack a whole bunch of them. They're itching. They're like Dirty Harry. Go ahead, make my day. You feel lucky, Muslims? You feel lucky? Trump goes on. We also work closely with NATO on this new mission. I previously said that NATO was obsolete because it failed to deal adequately with terrorism. That's a fact. Since my comments, They have changed their policy and now have a new division focused on terror threats. That's a fact. And again, when people like Peter Bergen say, well, Obama, we already work with NATO. Check. Well, we're not working with them enough. NATO's not doing enough. Yes, we have a running back. They have a running back. They hand the ball off 22 times a game. We run the ball 22 times a game. We average 134 yards on the ground. They average 22 yards on the ground. Guess what? Somebody's not executing the play properly. Just because we do the same thing doesn't mean check, Peter Bergen. And retard. Trump continues, I also believe that we could find common ground with Russia in the fight against ISIS. They too have much at stake in the outcome in Syria and have had their own battles with Islamic terrorism. My administration will aggressively pursue joint coalition military operations to crush and destroy ISIS, international cooperation and cut off their funding and expand intelligence sharing and cyber warfare to disrupt, disable their propaganda and recruiting. We cannot allow the internet to be used as a recruiting tool and for other purposes. By our enemy, we must shut down their access to this form of communication. We must do so immediately. So when Peter Bergen and other elitists go, we do that already. No, we don't. We don't. We absolutely do not. We don't. We don't cut off internet access as far as Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. We don't cut that access off to ISIS. We don't. We absolutely do not. And we easily could. Just like China controls the internet and they basically have an on and off switch, we could do the same thing. We could sit down with Facebook. We could sit down with Zuckerberg. We could sit down with these tech companies and say, listen, guys, you do a marvelous job of flagging booby pictures. You do a marvelous job of flagging booby videos. You need to start doing a fabulous job of anti-American rhetoric. And if you can't do that job, then what you're going to have to do is shut down access to the internet as far as Facebook and Twitter to those regions. So if you can't do an adequate job of killing ISIS sites and anti-American sympathizers in Syria or Afghanistan or Pakistan or whatever other country is breeding terror, if you can't set up a division and all they do is scrub IP addresses and other algorithms that are anti-American, if you can't do that, then you need to flip the switch and block Saudi Arabia from Facebook. Block Syria from Facebook. We don't do that. So when Peter Bergen, okay, when Peter Bergen says, we already do that. No, we don't. No, we don't. We absolutely do not. We don't do it. We absolutely do not. So Trump continues, while my opponent accepted millions of dollars in foundation donations for countries where being gay is an offense punishable by prison or death, my administration will speak out against the oppression of women, gays, and people of different faith. Our administration will be a friend to the moderate Muslim reformers in the Middle East and will amplify their voices. Now, of course, liberals are going, how could Trump say that? How could Trump say that? His vice presidential pick, Mike Pence, signed one of the most extreme anti-gay legislation as governor. How could he say, what a hypocrite? And again, they ignore the fact that Tim Kaine has a slew of positions that are against Hillary Clinton. I mean, Tim Kaine is pro-life. Tim Kaine believes in the Hyde Amendment. Tim Kaine essentially has Donald Trump's position as far as it pertains to abortion. Tim Kaine is pro-choice, and Tim Kaine does not believe taxpayer money should go for funding abortions. So if liberals want to go, how could Donald Trump say this about homosexuals and being a friend to homosexuals when his running mate is anti-gay? Well, Tim Kaine is anti-choice, okay? Hillary Clinton has one of her coughing attacks and dies in office, and Tim Kaine is president. Guess what? Tim Kaine's going to make sure that taxpayer money doesn't go to funding abortion. Okay? So then Trump continues to talk about the extreme aspects of Islam, like Pakistan and their honor killings, which we've talked about on the show before. Again, you don't see the media dissecting the Trump speech. You don't see, because these are all facts. These are all facts. These are all facts. The only thing you see is Peter Bergen saying, oh, we do all those things. Chuck, 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 chuck. He sounds like Obama. Well, oh, okay. So Trump continues. The common thread linking the major Islamic terrorist attacks that have recently occurred on our soil, 9/11, the Fort Hood shooting, Boston Bomb Massacre, they all involved immigrants or the children of immigrants. Clearly, new screening procedures are needed. A review by the U.S. Senate Immigration Subcommittee has identified 380 foreign-born individuals charged with terrorism or terrorism-related offenses between 9/11 and 2014 and many more since then. Those are all facts. We also know that ISIS recruits refugees after their entrance into the country, as we have seen with the Somali refugee population in Minnesota. Fact. Beyond terrorism, as we've seen in France, foreign population has brought their anti-Semitic attitudes with them. Fact. Pew polling shows that many of the countries from which we draw large numbers of immigrants' extreme views about religion, such as the death penalty for those who leave the faith, are commonplace. That's a fact. The Trump administration will establish a clear principle that will govern all decisions pertaining to immigration. We should only admit into this country those who share our values and respect our people. In the Cold War, we had an ideological screening test. The time is overdue to develop a new screening test for the threats we face today. In addition to screening out all members of sympathizers of terrorist groups, we must also screen out any who have hostile attitudes towards our country or its principles, or do who believe that Sharia law should support American law. Now, of course, we've heard liberals go, how are you going to do the screening process when terrorists just lie on their application? How are we going to do this? Listen, if you go back and you look at the recent attacks, every single one of these attacks, these people's Facebook and other social media were not scrubbed. They were not scrubbed. That's a fact. That is a fact. That is a fact. The San Bernardino terrorists, their Facebook, when that woman came into this country, her Facebook wasn't scrubbed. If it was scrubbed, they would have seen terrorist sympathies. They would have seen this woman communicating with, I mean, Jesus H, I'm serious. It's just insane. These are all facts, my friends. These are all facts. And if there's no way we can screen people, then they can't be let into the country. Sorry. Those who do not believe in our Constitution or support bigotry or hatred will not be admitted for immigration in this country. Only those who we expect to flourish in our country and to embrace a tolerant American society should be issued visas. Again, when people say, and when I say people, liberals, the media, when they go, well, how are we gonna screen these sympathizers? How are we gonna know who believes in our Constitution or who support bigotry? Well, if we have a real vetting process, okay, and we're only vetting people that we can vet. Remember that's the concept. To issue somebody a visa, they have to go through a process. They have to be screened, and it's not just an application. And if people go, well, that's not the way it is, well, then that's the way it's going to be. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with putting a vetting process in place that entails more than just somebody filling out a piece of paper? To get a job in this country, for the most part, the company conducts a background check. To get a car loan, you have to have references. When I bought my car recently, I had to put down references. I had to list 4 people that would vouch for me. And they had to be like real. They couldn't be just imaginary folk. They had to be real people. So if we in America have to go through a screening process to get a job, or we have to go through a screening process as far as references to buy a car, why shouldn't somebody have to go through that same type of thing to get a visa? Somebody's saying, I want to come to your country. Hi, I live in Saudi Arabia. I want to come to your country. Okay, who are you? My name's Abdul Sheikh. Okay. Who are you? I am Abdul Sheikh. Okay. I'm going to ask you again. Who are you? I'm not a terrorist. I'm a nice man. And I love America. Oh, okay. Come on in. Why is that our process? Why can't we go, all right, Mr. Sheikh, fill out this application. We need these references. We need all of this stuff, and then we'll let you know. Okay? It could take a week. It could take 3 weeks. Could take a month. But you need to fill out this application so we could do a background check and figure out who you are. Why is that wrong? Why is that un-American? To me, that seems logical. To me, that seems logical. And when you hear the media, and you hear the liberals go, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? This is crazy. How are we going to do this? Now, I'm a putz, and I just laid out a real loosey-goosey way. I mean, if Glendale Nissan can put you through the ringer to buy an $18,000 car, I think the United States government can put together some type of screening process. And if Abdullah Sheikh doesn't have references, if Abdullah Sheikh doesn't have any background, if Abdullah Sheikh is basically just a blank slate, guess what? Abdullah Sheikh doesn't get admitted into the country. So Trump continues to put these new procedures in place. We'll have to temporarily suspend immigration from some of the most dangerous and volatile regions of the world that have a history of exporting terrorism. And of course, I've heard liberals go, oh, well, yeah, that's fine, but what about recent terror attacks that have happened in France and Belgium? Are we gonna suspend immigration with them? Huh? See, Trump doesn't, it's not possible. But of course, with these liberals and the media and, of course, Peter Bergen seem to leave out, most of these attacks that he's talking about, these people had history as either being born in another country and immigrating France or Germany, or they had records and they were on the radar as far as people that had traveled back and forth to Syria. Every single one of these people that attacked, whether it's Charlie Hebdo or the nightclub, every single one of these people who were from France or Belgium, every single one of these people, if there was a strenuous, or as Trump would say, an extreme vetting process, none of them would have been let into the United States of America. So, yeah. When we have a vetting process, and somebody's applying to come to the United States from Germany, and their name is Abdul Mohammed Shalouf, yeah, and they're from France, but they were born in Iran, and they have dual citizenship, or they've traveled to Syria, they won't be let into the country. And then Trump goes on to talk about Hillary Clinton's plan to let 620,000 refugees into the country. Fact that it would cost about $400 billion. I mean, these are all facts, guys. These are all facts. These are all facts. Trump goes on to talk about people that come to this country must assimilate. And assimilation is not an act of hostility, but an expression of compassion. Our system of government and our American culture is the best in the world and will produce the best outcomes for all who adapt. You know, that's how it used to be when Trump talks about the Cold War. That's how it used to be. There was a time, and I've talked about this for a year or two, however long we've been on this show. You know, my brother-in-law came to this country when he was 12 years old. My brother-in-law came to this country from Italy when he was 12 years old. And guess what? You would never in a million years know that my brother-in-law was from Italy. Sounds, you can't tell. Now, compare that with someone like Anna Navarro, who came to this country roughly the same age. But Anna Navarro came to this country and was brought up where assimilation isn't necessary. That's why she still speaks with a thick, strong Latin accent. My grandparents came to this country from Italy. And to the day they died, you would never have been able to tell they were not born in America. So why can my grandparents, why can my brother-in-law, why can they assimilate, but today's immigrants can't? Because back then, it was required. It was required to assimilate. If you couldn't speak English, you couldn't get a job. If you couldn't speak English, you were looked down on. If you couldn't speak English, people called you out. Said, if you're going to come to this country, learn English. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now this country, it's meaningless. Seriously, it's meaningless to be an American because you don't need to assimilate. You don't need to be part of the American culture. You basically could come here and have your own culture and follow your own rules, and it doesn't matter because no one's going to call you out, because if someone calls you out, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a Mexophobe. You're an Islamophobe. You're every name in the world. And yet, 20, 30 years ago, you had to assimilate. If you came from another country here, you were proud to be here. You didn't wave that country's flag that you came to. You waved the American flag. You did everything in your power to learn English. You did everything in your power to lose that accent. You did everything in your power to assimilate. That's what being an American is. Now, nope. The media, Obama, liberals, progressives, they've created this notion that that is racist. And it's not. It's what my grandparents went through. It's what their grandparents went through. It's what my brother-in-law went through. Trump goes on, renewing the spirit of Americanism will help heal the divisions in our country. It will do so by emphasizing that we have in common, not what pulls us apart. This is my pledge to the American people. As your president, I will be your greatest champion. I will fight to ensure that every American is treated equally, protected equally, and honored equally. We will reject bigotry, oppression, and in all forms, and seek a new future built on our common culture values as one American people. Only this way we will make America great again and safe again for everyone. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a phenomenal speech, and it's exactly why we're talking about Roger Ailes today. Because if Democrats had to run on issues, if Hillary Clinton had to run on her record, if Hillary Clinton had to run on Obama's record, if Hillary Clinton had to run on what the Democrats have done for the American people, for black people, for Chinese people, for everybody, they would get an F, a big fat F. Look at Milwaukee. Look at St. Louis. Look at Chicago. The list goes on and on Electing President Obama was supposed to heal a nation. Electing President Obama was supposed to end racism. It was supposed to end this disparity of black folk and their unemployment and their education. It was supposed to raise them out of poverty. It was supposed to do all of these things. Instead, we are worse than we've ever been, at least in our lifetime, my lifetime. Every aspect of where we are is worse. And you know what's funny? To top it all off, over the weekend, no one talked about Milwaukee. No one showed video of Milwaukee. No one cared about Milwaukee. Trump right now is at an event for police in Milwaukee, and all the cameras are there waiting, just waiting for something to pop off, because that will fit their narrative.